to the plane coming up yet, so I'm gonna talk to you this morning, however, about the three most powerful words that can be spoken, the three most powerful spoken words. And the Lord put it on my heart to talk about this, because like T.A. said, we're living in some very tough times. You know, we've got the coronavirus, and we've got people that don't want to comply with the guidelines that would help us. Looks like the screen is here, but I'm somewhere off. Okay. I think Reverend T.A. is in charge of the screen. So, yes. Okay, now I see it. Like I said, I'm going to be talking about what are the three most powerful words, spoken words. And I got some questions I want to ask you. One question is, what is the one thing everybody needs to hear? Just think about what is it that, you know, everybody needs to hear, no matter who they are, where they're from, young or old, rich or poor. What is one thing everybody needs to hear? And secondly is, what is the one emotion everybody wants to feel? What, when you think about, especially when you're young, what is that one emotion that you look forward to when you're older? And no matter who you are, there's one emotion that gets you more than any other in this life. And we'll move on to the next slide. And but better yet, another thing is, what is the one thing everybody needs to understand about life? What is it that we want to understand about life more than anything else? And lastly, there's one other thing, a question is, it ties it all together. What is the one thing everybody needs to believe in? I mean, there is one thing, like I say, everybody needs to believe in. And that brings me to the point that I want to make and stress is, and that is the one thing that everybody wants to hear, and I'll get there, is I love you. Just think about it. We take that for granted for those who have had it since their childhood, from their parents, and they maybe got married and have children and a friend. Just look. We take it for granted that somewhere along the life that we hear the words, I love you. And it's such an amazing thing. It's amazing when you hear the words, I love you, spoken. And let's look at the situation under which these three most powerful words can be spoken. They have to do with relationships, and when these words are spoken in some of the most relationships, and basically words, the words I love you are taken in four different types of love. And the first love that most of us experience or like to think we experience, and it's the least important love, and that's the Eros love. And Eros is simply a romantic intimacy between couples. I mean, we know when we get the Eros love and how it makes us feel and it changes us and how it can cause us to almost lose our minds and how how devastated we are when that relationship,
come on now,
romantic relationship breaks up. Now, I've been through some, all of us, where even some young people that are young, they may not have experienced it yet, but most of us will experience that, and it's quite devastating when you hear someone play with our emotions by saying, I love you, only to realize that they didn't really love us. And that's one of the most difficult things, because we don't understand what I love you means ourselves. We hear it, and we hear the song and everything, and we get the idea, romantic idea of what love should be. But that can say that's the least important type of love there is. And let's move on to the next type of love that I believe we need to look at. And that's the, skip one. The third one is the, what's called the phileo love, the platonic love, brother. It's a platonic love, and you know how that is. Like, you know, you had good friends, and you always hear and say, "I love you." You know, we close messages, and we talk to one and say, "Hey, I love you." You know, and you're just friends. But it's something about having that friend say, "I love you." This makes it so wonderful. And moving on to the next one is the one we understand probably the greatest, has one of the greatest, is the familial love. And that's the love that we have, like, say, for parents that have a love for their children, husband and wives. They have that love, the grandparents for children, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles and cousins. It's just when you get together with that the family and you have that family love, it's one of the best types of love there is. And when we experience that, we're blessed because not everybody gets to experience that. But the one thing I found out, the greatest love, that's the agape love. Agape, the love of God. The love that God has for us. And truly, we can understand that for those of us who are believers that when God says, "I love you," we can believe that. We can take that to the bank. We can trust Him on that because He proved it when He said, "I have loved you so much, I'm sending my son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. I love you that much. Even though you are not worth anything, you have no value. In fact, if anything, I should be you slave to sin, and I shouldn't even be attempting to do it, but I'm going to love you enough that I'm going to go and rescue you." That's the kind of love we're talking about. That agape love. Let's move to the next slide, please. Well, that agape love is, again, godly love. It's the only love that is something that we couldn't even begin to understand or appreciate had not we had the Word of God telling us about it. God sending messages of for God to name His love toward us. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And you'll find that in Romans 8 and 10, and or Romans 5 and 8. And then we hear what God says. He looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. And we hear God always reaching out and says how much He loves us. And then when God says, "I love you," and in return, "I expect you to love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul." And then, knowing that, we said, you know, this kind of love that I have is so transforming that it makes you say, "I love others." And that love for others starts with Christian beliefs. Isn't that one of the most amazing things we experience when we get saved? It's the fact we look around and we have all these other believers that we don't even know. They're not family, not friends. They actually are strangers to us. But because of God's love, we learn to love these people who were prior to that strangers. Prior to us, we probably never would have trusted them. They look different than us. They talk different. They just are not, we're not, there's no reason we should be connected to them, but love of God causes us as Christian believers to change. So that when we start saying to Christians, as Christian beings, "I love you," it takes on a whole new meaning. It takes on. And then, God says, well, you know, the love not just a Christian brother, but I want you to have love for your neighbors. And therefore, when you see a neighbor, and that's that stranger, somebody you don't, you can go up there and talk to them, and sometimes even maybe, we can't do it now, but we can even give them a hug and say, I love you. What is it that you need? I got your back. I can help you. You know, you look around and they may need something, and without saying a word, you can do it. Just like yesterday, I was out doing some shopping, and I happened to go into this place, and I was went to get something, and out in front was this young man. He was a homeless artist, and he had some beautiful artwork. It was beautiful, and it was on cardboard, and I could see he had skills. And I was going by one of those paintings, one of those drawings he had. And I seen one of Steph Curry, and I wanted to get that one. He said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, somebody didn't convince you. He said, well, I basically, you know, selling these, selling off my artwork. And right then and there, the love of God moved upon me. That I went and gave him $20 to help him. What he told me to do, and didn't get no joy, but just the fact that the Spirit of God moved upon me to show him love because he's a stranger. Because to me, that's what God did for me. I was a stranger there. That's what God did each of us. We need to understand, God, we were that way with God. We were some wretched, one worth much. We was in a bad situation on our way to hell, and yet God said, I love you, and reaches out to us and gives us what we need. But when I see a stranger or a non-believer, I look and say, but for the grace of God, there go I was that person right there that all of us like that. We were once lost. We were in some bad situation, but for God's grace, look at where we are now. So whenever I see that, I'm motivated by the love of God, those words that I love you, those words that God spoke to my heart years ago. Cliff, I love you. It was more than my parents, anybody else. That's what has kept me strong even during the most awesome crisis when nobody's around. Mother, father, brother, sister, no friends, nobody's around. You're going through that crisis in the middle of the night. And all you can say is, God, thank you. And think about God's love to help keep you steady during the most awesome times in your life. That's when I say the three most powerful spoken words that we can hear is, I love you. I love you. It starts when I say I love you, it starts when I heard God, when I finally got saved and put my faith and trust God, that God had said, I love you, Cliff. I love you. I love you, Brother T. I love you, Sister Ray. I love all of you out there. And that's what all of us heard and was enough to move us toward God, because we need to have enough faith to say, I don't know if it's real or not, but I'm willing to trust. And when we trusted him and heard it and moved on, that faith that we needed to accept it, it became real. Now, there's no way any of us will ever doubt the fact that God loves us. We have that seed planted up through the Holy Spirit that lets us know nothing and no way, no lie from the enemy. No lie from anyone can separate us from the love of God, because we can't be separated from the love of God. Now, I'm changed enough to go about trying to change the world by sharing that love with others. And now, during this situation of the riots and everything, we see the injustice and unrighteousness and all the sinful, we have a different weapon. We have a different response. We have that response that, yeah, it ain't right. It ain't perfect. But God's in control now. I trust that God, so I'm loving the everybody. Even though they do me wrong, I gotta love them. And like I say, the three most powerful spoken words. Think about it. Think about it when your children hear you say that. Think about it when you say that to your children. And all times that I love you has to be made manifest tangibly. And that's when we think about it. That's what God did when he sent his son Jesus. Now, when we look at our scripture this morning, like I said, it's coming from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in God and God in him." That love abides in God and God in him. Our next scripture is, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are he, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears not has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And last verse says, "And this command we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother." Amen. And our next scripture, our next slide is, again, you can see in those scripture that love being spoken and being the most powerful words. In fact, I counted it up, I think it's love is used 12 times in those just those few short verses. The word love, God wants to make it clear to us that love is the focus of what this relationship is all about. Relationship with him and relationship to others. And so let's look at what these scripts reveals about "I love you." First, it reveals that God loves us. And you know, when you think about God's love, God wanted us to know that he loves us, and it was such a special love that he sent the delivery message, "I love you," by himself, through his son Jesus. Just think, God thought enough of us to send a special delivery in person in the son of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We must have been worth something. You know, I don't know about you. I feel I'm worth something if God could do that. I got to realize that "I love you" means something. Next. Is that God is love. It says in scripture that we know that God loves us because God is love. God is the personification of love. Love is what God is. So why would not understand when God says, "I love you," believe that? And because love is a part of God and we are a part of God, love is a part of who we are. Sometimes we forget that, but love is a part of who we are. We are created and have an innate capacity, an innate thing about love. And then next we say, we love God because he first loved us. We didn't love God, God loved us first. And once we understood his love for us, then and only then were we able to love God in return. And we're thankful for that. I don't know about y'all, but I'm very thankful for that I'm able to love God when he loves me. That, and the scripture reveals that God created created us with a need to be loved. See, God came to love us because he created that love to be needed, to be loved. Just think about in the garden. When God created Adam and Eve, he created us with a need to be loved, and he created us in a love relationship. And because of sin, that relationship of love was broken. But it still, even when it was broken, when it was thrown out of God, it still didn't eliminate that need for love. So we have this innate need to love. And then he created us the need to love. We have want to be loved, and we want to love. That is who we are. I mean, that's the opposite side of the coin. One is we need to be loved, and one, we need to love. And with God, because we need to love, God says, I'm going to enable you to love others. You know, that's the most amazing thing. Everything that we need to do and we need, God provides. So God provides me the ability to love others. You know, people that I probably wouldn't even think twice about, and I probably wouldn't want to love. In fact, I can remember the days when I had this, didn't have love and almost had hatred for some people and some things that had happened in my life. But because of God's love over time, he got rid of that. And now I have love for every and anybody. And I respect everybody because of that love. Don't mean necessarily mean I agree with them or like them, but I have love for them. And because of that, God does the other thing is, he enables me to be loved by others. You know how a lot of times it causes hurts and everything? We put a barrier to people and things because we want to keep that sense of vulnerability and of being hurt due to people misusing our vulnerability to love. And so what we do is put those barriers up. But God, because of his love, allows me to let those barriers down so both the good and the bad gonna come through. But God will let me see that all things work together for good because I love him. Now, call question. So even the bad thing, I don't need to worry about because God is in control of it. So it allows me to love and to be loved by others. And our next piece of revelation in scripture is that God created us to believe that we are loved. Now, that's one of the hard things. If you talk to a lot of people, the idea of being loved is something hard. And like a lot of people go to therapy and all kinds of things that go through these people that want to teach them how to deal with love. But, you know, if we become saved, we become enabled to be loved. I mean, we don't have to go to no therapy or whatever. God is the best therapy there is. I don't know about y'all, but that's one thing I found out that I found out that when I accepted Christ, and over time, God allowed me to learn how to enable myself to love others and to be loved by others. And you know what? God expects us to love others. You know, again, an example was when we see that person on the street or see anybody, we should have the anticipation of sharing love with them. Not revolting, but being drawn toward them. It's like Jesus, when you see Jesus, when he was walking this earth, he sat down and had a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. He sat down and had an interaction with a harlot, a tax collector. And these are just examples, God said, that says, I enable you to love others. I enable you to interact with others. I enable you to see them as I see them. With the filter of love, with the spiritual eye of love. That's so amazing when we think about our love that God enables us to see, I love you through his eyes. Oh, I love it. I love the words, I love you. Not the way the world tries to use it, but I just love it. And like I say, God has done something remarkable, allowed me to let down my barriers of being insecure about things, and so do it, I become vulnerable and people have taken advantage of that. But thanks be to God, I learned from it and realized that Satan's out here too. He's got the words I love you down pat, just like God. And he's coming full force, used with that same word. So that's when I got to have spiritual discernment on to understand that I love you can only really be genuine if it's coming from God and God's people. The world don't know nothing about I love you. The world has tried to use those words. How many of y'all remember the songs and how we used to think about romance from the thing, the word the world said? But that's not real love. Real love is that which only God can give us to allow us to love others. So I just want to say in conclusion that God is love. When you start thinking about I love you, you have to start from the beginning with the word, the origin of the word, that God is love. And since we are the children of God, purchased by the blood of his son Jesus, we're able to love like God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son. So that's reason this whole message of I love you to resonate in a whole new way with us. I love you. We should say it with a smile. We should go on our way to love others. Like, we should be able to love like God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son. You know, we should be able to do that because God said, I loved you before you loved me. I love you in spite of being some of the worst messed up people are, being sinners. And you know what? One of the things I found out is I can do that. None of my power. I tried to fake it and everything, but to get worn out trying to fake love for somebody. You know, fake it till you make it. You can't fake love. Not real love. Real love cannot be fake. Real love has to be genuine. And so I just want to say, God bless you. I really love you. My love for you is genuine, each and every one of you. And thank you, and God bless you this morning.